The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Now, I've spoke a lot. This is killing us and it's destroying our country. Everybody, it's affecting all of us in Butler County times the 3,300 counties in the United States. These people aren't doing anything and they're causing it. No matter, it don't matter who elected them, what they done. We've elected these people and they're not responsible is what they're telling us.
He's telling the same lies that every wave of migrants in the United States has always been subjected to. When the Jews came, when the Germans came, when the Italians came.
When the Irish came.
All of these different groups, we were told the same thing, that we're going to lose our culture.
Yep.
We're going to lose our language. They're going to drive down wages. Then the crime's going to grow up. And exactly the opposite has happened.
Mm-hmm. For real.
And the fact is that without migrant labor, and we want legal immigration. I blame both parties for the problem at the border because the border needs to be fixed, and neither parties have the political will to do it.
They just did try to do it, and Trump told them not to. And some Republicans wanted to pass it.
You do not eat without
That's correct.
Labor.
That's right.
You do not have houses without immigrant labor.
That's right.
You do not have highways or bridges without immigrant labor.
That's right.
And by the way, when you're my age, you start to think about retiring on Social Security and Medicare. And without immigrant labor, there's no Social Security or Medicare.
Right. Yeah.
In fact, we need more migrants to come to the United States.
More. We need more, he says. I think this guy fancies himself as a Republican. Another good old weak Republican. Out there calling for more mass migration, illegal immigration. We need it to eat, he says. Never mind the murderers coming in. You heard the sheriff from Ohio. Another murder carried out by a guy who was deported seven times. And he just keeps coming right back in. And now he's committed murder in Ohio. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. A fast-moving week, a fast-moving show we've got in store for you as well. You can get to the live video stream at TrumpetDaily.com or at the Rumble channel. Just go to Rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. 7 times deported. Fermin Garcia Gutierrez. He was just arrested in Ohio and charged for murdering a man, an American citizen. This is from, I think it's one of the local affiliates in Ohio. It says here, Hamilton police have charged a man highlighted by the sheriff last week for entering the country illegally multiple times with aggravated murder. It says, police chief Craig Boucher said officers believe that 2 days before Fermin Garcia Gutierrez, 46, was arrested on March 16 on other charges, he committed the homicide. It says Gutierrez was an example used by Butler County Sheriff Richard Jones in his press conference expressing his frustration with the Biden administration's immigration enforcement and border policies. The sheriff said Friday that Gutierrez was arrested for carrying a concealed weapon, having a weapon while intoxicated and obstruction, and he was detained on an ICE holder, it says. Jones said Garcia Gutierrez had also been to prison 3 times and deported 7 times. I mean, when will this insanity stop? And you've got people out there wanting to put all this on Donald Trump. He's the only one willing to do anything to stop the illegal flow. They're just pouring into the country. Most of them young, single, military-aged men coming from all over the world. In fact, they're flying the men, as I said earlier this week. They've got this program. It started in Venezuela. Now it's everywhere. They're just, Joe Obama is sending planes to these third world nations and picking up illegals and bringing them to a city near you, maybe in Ohio, maybe in Illinois, maybe in New York, maybe in California. I mean, we can't eat without them. How would we eat? Listen to this fresh, hot new take coming from someone named Max Rose about Trump, the bad orange man. This is clip three.
The reason why Donald Trump is doing this, other than the fact that he's crazy beyond belief, is that his campaign, which purports to be disciplined this time around, remember, this is a disciplined campaign that's talking like this. What they're saying is that immigration is a top issue in the swing states. That's irrefutable. And so it actually puts the Biden campaign in an interesting fork in the road. Do they call out these comments and then pivot to another issue? Or do they call out these comments for the horrific xenophobic language that it is and then pivot to focusing on their immigration stance? The fact that they were leaders of a strong bipartisan initiative to actually cover security and a strong moral stance on immigration. And if they go that route, they can speak to an issue that is a top issue in swing districts while also rightfully establishing Donald Trump as the xenophobic, racist, horribly divisive candidate that he is.
Right. The Democrats, they've taken a very strong moral stance when it comes to illegal immigration. It's Donald Trump who's the racist xenophobe. It's Donald Trump. They notice they're creating yet another false narrative that Trump's called them all animals. He called the animal that killed the woman in, I think it's South Carolina. He calls him an animal. But here are your talking heads, the regime media, carrying on about another fake narrative, a hoax. That's all they have. Meanwhile, this is from the Denver Gazette. 10 minutes spent on the afternoon of January 6, 2021, on what she considers a God-directed mission, could cost 71-year-old Falcon resident Rebecca Laverns up to a year in prison and fines of more than $200,000. She went inside the Capitol for 10 minutes, this woman. 71 years old. We're 3-plus years beyond it. This is crazy. This is Joe Obama's DOJ. This is what's really important to them. Getting this woman, putting this woman behind bars. Now you can deport a hardened criminal 6-7 times. And then just invite him right back in. Catch, release. Catch, release, catch, release. It says here, the great-grandmother and bed and breakfast owner doesn't regret walking into the United States Capitol during the Stop the Steal rally protesting the 2020 presidential election results. She says, I feel like I was on assignment from God. I feel like I was serving God by showing up, by showing my support for Donald Trump, by showing my support to at least look into all of these cases of voter fraud. A jury trial for Laverns starts Monday in the U.S. District Court in the District of Columbia. I wonder how that's going to go for her. She's going to the swamp. That's where they try most of these cases. Then they can send them off to the D.C. gulag. She spent 10 minutes inside the Capitol. Laverns said she followed the crowd and stayed within the ropes. Have you ever seen an insurrection where they stay within the velvet ropes? Well, that's what it was on January 6th. Staying within the ropes. She better be. She's going to prison. She says, I didn't say anything. I didn't shout or wave. I didn't see any violence when I was in the Capitol. And there was no damage. Video footage shows her entering the Capitol at 2:43 p.m. and leaving at 2:53 p.m. 10 minutes. 10 minutes. And here she is, harassed by the DOJ and perhaps going off to prison. says here, in April of 2021, two FBI agents knocked at the door of her rural home in eastern El Paso County and said they were there to investigate her involvement in the January 6 event. She was busy baking a cake for her son's birthday and asked if they could come back on a different day. They said yes and returned in a few weeks. Nearly a year and a half later, December 19, 2022, Lavrenz was arrested and charged with four federal misdemeanors at the U.S. District Court in Denver. Four misdemeanors. It says here, I sat in a prison for 3 hours and they let me out of personal recognizance, took my passport, put me on probation, told me to let the officers know if I was going to travel anywhere. She's charged with entering and remaining in a restricted building, disorderly and disruptive conduct. Just compare this to Gutierrez. Deported 7 times, career criminal. And now he's a murderer. Charged with entering and remaining in a restricted building, disorderly and disruptive conduct in a restricted building or grounds, disorderly conduct in a Capitol building, and parading, demonstrating or picketing in the Capitol. She's guilty of parading. Oh, yes. Lavrenz is among 1,358 people charged with criminal actions related to the January 6th rally that turned violent, according to the U.S. Department of Justice. Of course, we know this. Every month it goes up because the DOJ is more proud of this investigation, of these arrests, than any other case. Certainly, it's more important than illegals coming into the United States and murdering American citizens. Says here, about 500 new cases are expected to come before the U.S. District Court in D.C. this year. 1,358 people charged, and there's 500 more to come. I mean, they're scouring the video. The DOJ, they certainly get to see all the footage. The rest of us can't. No. I mean, they are combing through it. We've got to put the great grandmother in prison. We've just got to do it. She was in there 10 minutes. I mean, she was parading. She was parading after all. Last week, a jury convicted a Virginia man who went inside the Capitol for 3 minutes and walked around and took photos. They got him on 4 counts. I guess he did some parading and some disorderly conduct as well. Took pictures inside the Capitol from just the news. Speaking of what is really important to the dear leaders, DOJ, the so-called Department of Justice. The DOJ this week asked a judge to impose a 4 to 10 month prison sentence for Amy Harris, who stole the diary of first daughter Ashley Biden and ultimately sold it to Project Veritas. So they want to put her behind bars for 4 to 10 months for stealing a diary. I mean, that's Ashley. I guess it means the diary is legit. Does this mean that the fake president is that he abused his daughter? I mean, that's what she says in there. Sexual abuse. For a while, that was treated like Hunter's laptop. Well, now we can't be sure if it's legit. It could be. It might have all the hallmarks of Russian disinformation. Well, now, I mean, the DOJ, they're coming out. I guess they're admitting that it's a legitimate diary. Well, let's get into it then and consider what this girl said, what she wrote about. How she showered with the big guy. Harris pleaded guilty to 1 count of conspiracy to commit interstate transportation of stolen property. Where do they come up with these crimes? They'll find them. if they hate you or your politics, they will find a law to take you down. Whether it's parading or taking a diary across state lines. There you go. The DOJ on Tuesday asked Judge Laura Swain to impose the sentence along with 3 years of supervised release. The DOJ previously sought only 6 months of home confinement and the three-year supervised release period. Harris entered her plea in August of 2022 along with Robert Kurtlander, whom she enlisted to aid in selling the diary. They sold it to Project Veritas for $20,000. She originally obtained the diary while staying at Biden's Florida residence in 2020. Court filings from the Southern District of New York indicated that they had previously sought to sell the diary to the campaign of former President Donald Trump, though they refused and urged the pair to give it to the FBI. Here's the Trump people saying, look, you better give that over to the FBI. If Trump would have purchased it, they'd probably get him with some kind of a crime. Lawfare all over the place. I mean, these are gross injustices. This is bitter affliction, to use the language that's there in 2 Kings 14. Bitterness and affliction. There's no helper for Israel. God's going to have to intervene and save Israel by the hand of Jeroboam, as it says over in 2 Kings 14. Since Ronna McDaniel stepped down as the chair of the Republican Party, the fundraising for Republicans has skyrocketed. The regime, very excited about what the dear leader and Bill Clinton and the fake president can pull in from celebrities, from the big names, 26 million during one celebrity bash. This article here from Red State, it says the joint fundraising committee made up of the RNC and several Trump-centered entities announced a total of $65 million raised during March. That comes after the resignation of Ronna McDaniel as chairwoman of the Republican Party apparatus. Under McDaniel, fundraising had slowed to a trickle, a problem fueled by distrust in the organization following several exclusive reports from Red State detailing how money was being wasted and misappropriated. Well, you get rid of the problem and then boom, the money comes rolling in, which is, of course, good for yet another victory for Donald Trump. One of many. You can see the hand of God in so many of these events. The more they try to destroy that man, the more it blows up in their faces. Listen to CNN as they talk about the documents case that has stalled in Florida. Clip 2.
A trial in the Mar-a-Lago classified documents case appears highly unlikely to happen before the 2024 election, and special counsel Jack Smith expressing frustration with Judge Eileen Cannon. In a new filing late Tuesday, Smith's team said Cannon had ordered briefings based on a fundamentally flawed legal premise that had no basis in law or fact.
Julie Kelly, she's, I think she writes for American Greatness, but she's also defended so many of these Jan 6ers and the gulag. But she's been attending the proceedings as much as she can. And it's quite contentious between Judge Cannon and Jack Smith, the DOJ bulldog. He's out trying to destroy Trump. Get Trump. Well, how do you go after Trump on documents? When the DOJ says, you know what? Yeah, Joe Biden had his documents all over the place, classified as well. Never was president. Didn't violate the Presidential Records Act because he never had that authority. At least not with the documents that happened before 2021. So you either, if it's a fair system, you either go after both of them or neither of them. And so the judge is... It's just going according to the normal pace It takes a long time. Our litigation, as I've said before, over Mystery of the Ages, sorry, that went on for 6 years. They want everything expedited. When it comes to getting Trump or getting January 6 protesters behind bars, let's get more of them. We're going to go for 500 more, and it's 3 years after the event. CNN says, and perhaps prosecutors' strongest rebuke yet to how Judge Eileen Cannon has handled the classified documents case against former President Donald Trump. Special Counsel Jack Smith said in court filings Tuesday evening that the judge had ordered briefings based on a fundamentally flawed understanding of the case. I mean, here he's rebuking the judge. Maybe this judge should throw out gag orders like the one up in D.C. I mean, they can slander Trump all that they want, but Donald Trump, I guess, can't say anything. He can't point out an obvious conflict of interest. He has to keep his mouth shut. And these radical judges, they can say whatever they want. Well, here's one that doesn't seem so radical. This is from Julie Kelly. She recently asked both parties for draft versions of jury instructions that appeared to favor Trump's argument that he was entitled under the Presidential Records Act to designate certain files as personal. Although her order on jury instructions came early in the process, it appears Cannon is attempting to flesh out the government's case given the nebulous language in the Espionage Act and untested nature of the Public Records Act. I mean, the public records, there is such a thing. As Donald Trump, he was president. He's able to declassify if he wants to. He has that authority, that power. Well, so then Jack Smith's got to come after him for espionage? For espionage, that's right. They'll find anything, any statute, any law. They'll pull it off the shelf if it hasn't been used for 100 years. That's what the fake president suggested in going after Mike Flynn, remember? Yeah, the Logan Act. Let's blow the dust off of that act and try to destroy one of our political enemies. Straight out of a banana republic. Contrary to what critics claim, Cannon has issued some pre-trial rulings that went against Trump and his co-defendants. She quickly dismissed Trump's argument that the vagueness of the Espionage Act warranted a dismissal of the case. She also suggested that she is inclined to deny another pending motion to dismiss. So she's not exactly, you know, a right-wing conservative, but it's going too slow for Jack Smith's liking. Then you got Judge Merchan in D.C. What a joke. Trump can't speak. Can't say anything because this judge won't allow it. The headline in Donald Trump's imminent, this is Andy McCarthy, hush money trial, which starts, I guess this is up in Manhattan, sorry, in Manhattan in just 11 days, is that Judge Juan Merchan rejected the former president's 11th hour claim of immunity from prosecution and refused to delay the trial until after the Supreme Court decides Trump's federal immunity claim, which may not happen until June. It says, what's not so sound is how Merchan referred to the case in which Trump's federal immunity claim arose. It is, of course, Biden's special counsel Jack Smith's election interference prosecution entitled U.S. versus Trump before Judge Tanya Chutkan. For some reason, Merchan did not want to say U.S. versus Trump or the federal Trump case in his short opinion, so he decided to call it Trump's federal insurrection matter. it's laughable. He wouldn't be embroiled in any of this were it not for the fact that he's running for president, were it not for the fact that he's leading in the polls. All of them, all the swing states. It's a toss-up in Wisconsin at this point. But all the rest, he's got a 5, 6, 7 point lead. It says here, of course, everyone who has followed the sundry legal proceedings against Trump knows there is no federal insurrection matter. Indeed, there's no doubt that Merchan knows there's no federal insurrection matter, at least if, as he claims in his opinion, He has studied the procedural history of the case before Judge Chutkan. It's not enough to say that Trump has not been charged with insurrection. None of the over 1,350 people prosecuted to date have been charged with insurrection. None of them. They're being charged for misdemeanors. They're being charged for parading. They're being charged for interrupting an official proceeding. And I mean, the DOJ is going after them hard. 500 more, as many as 500 more this year, on top of 1,350. Where will it stop? When does the madness end? And meanwhile, you've got hardened criminals coming across the border one, two, three, four, seven times, and then committing horrific acts of murder, crime, robbery. Well, as I say, God's going to have to, he's going to have to do his part. He's going to have to intervene to save us, at least temporarily, from this madness. You see victories in the court for Donald Trump, even with these rabid dogs just chasing him. The lawfare sputtering. I mentioned that Nebraska rule. There are weird rules regarding the Electoral College. Like with Maine, there's a little strip in Maine that can have its own electoral vote. Same thing with the district around Omaha, which generally goes blue in a very, very red state. And the state legislature is considering changing that. And this has a lot of radical Democrats losing their minds. This could come down to maybe just one vote, some have said. We'll see about that. NBC News says former President Donald Trump and Nebraska Governor Jim Pillen are calling on the state's legislature to change the way Nebraska doles out its Electoral College votes, a move that would almost certainly benefit Trump in his 2024 presidential bid. While most states dole out all their Electoral College votes to the statewide winner of the presidential vote, Nebraska and Maine give out one electoral vote to the candidate who wins each congressional district. It says Republicans have long sought to change the law, which has given Democratic presidential candidates a shot at winning one Electoral College vote from the Omaha-based congressional district in an otherwise red state. It says Republicans are upping the pressure on the state's nonpartisan, unicameral legislature to make the change before this fall's presidential election. So in the minds of the communists, well, I mean, this is cheating. If Nebraska does it like every other state, if Nebraska does it like Oklahoma, if they change the law before the presidential election, it's cheating, obviously. Listen to the Democrat operative, Mark Elias, clip 5.
We have to keep in mind two things. The first is that Republicans, their plan for November is to make it harder to vote and easier to cheat. The harder to vote is the voter suppression tactics, the voter intimidation, the efforts to prevent every eligible citizen from being able to cast their ballot and have it count. The easier to cheat is the stuff after the election, where they want to try to rig the rules through state legislatures and the like to try to undermine the will of the people. We have to be very clear-eyed that that's their strategy.
Don't you like how these people can just wax eloquent about cheating? As long as it's on the other side. Republicans, I mean, they cheat. All of them cheat. They're working even now to cheat in the lead-up to the presidential election. This man right here is pro-cheating. There was a Rasmussen poll that just came out. I forget the percentage, but the higher up you went among the elites, you know, the highly educated, the people in the swamp, the more they were inclined to just openly admit that, yeah, if we have to cheat to pull this up to stop Donald Trump, of course we will. This is stunning. These people are so corrupt. They're so deranged. They're just like the Pharisees of the Bible that can't see any sins except in Donald Trump and his followers, his supporters. Look at Joy Reid yesterday. You heard it on the program. She's going right down the Ten Commandments. She's telling you where Donald Trump breaks the Ten Commandments. Well, I thought so many of you thought that the Ten Commandments is out the window. Jesus did away with it, right? That's what they say on the one hand. But I mean, when it comes to Donald Trump, then they blow the dust off the Ten Commandments of all things. Get Trump. He's a commandment breaker. The rest of us, we're pure. We're holy. We're righteous. CNN. Well, there's another story here about the latest election in Wisconsin and what it shows about the Biden vote. How more and more people are giving a protest vote because they don't want to throw their support behind Joe Biden. He's so unpopular. He's the one that's getting the blame for this bitter, bitter affliction. This story about the minimum wage. They raised it to $20 per hour in California. And so what do you suppose that's doing? They champion themselves as fighting for the little guy. We've got to get that $20 wage, you know, for the little guy. It says here, menu prices at fast food chains across California have increased as the new law went into effect, requiring them to pay a $20 an hour minimum wage to workers. The Post checked menus at several restaurants in the Los Angeles area to see if the costs are already being passed on to the consumers. The biggest leap was at Burger King, where a Texas Double Whopper meal cost $15.09 on March 29, but surged to $16.89, $16, almost $17 for the Whopper meal. Don't get me started on the food quality. But how is this helping the little guy? The little guy that has to go to the fast food restaurant because it's cheaper. Well, not so much anymore. Costs increase by as much as $2 just because of one law. Gavin Newsom, I'm sure he had a lot of support in the state legislature. This is what they're doing. This is what they're busy with. Even as the country goes up in flames. Bitter, bitter affliction. If you don't have a copy of the book, it's way over here across the table. But this is it. America Under Attack. You can order this book today. Just call our operators. The number there, 1-866-930-3024. This takes you right through. I mean, root causes of all the bitter affliction that we're seeing in the nation today. In all of Israel, bitter, bitter affliction. And it also tells you about what God does to temporarily rescue or to save America. When we come back, we'll conclude today's show with our Bible study segment and maybe some email responses as well. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, and even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Fleury's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. you'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com.
The black background, by the way, we switched to that momentarily right at the end of the show yesterday. I guess it slipped into the screensaver. So that's how that happened yesterday. We have fired the person in charge of backgrounds on the show. No, just kidding. We've only got two or three people as it is. So we've got to keep everybody that we can, even when there's a mistake that actually looks kind of nice. We may just use the black background one of these days. We'll see. The other day I went through 2 Corinthians 4, the last few verses there where it talks about the daily renewal, how that inner man needs to be renewed each day. I gave a forum this morning, and I'll probably use some of that material at a later time. But just emphasizing, you know, putting God first right at the start of your day, you know, rolling out of bed and getting right into your prayers. Rise and pray, as Jesus said to his disciples. Well, here it says, just to reiterate, it says in verse 16, For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Every day there needs to be a daily renewal. The book of Daniel talks about us doing the daily, making those daily sacrifices. Romans 12 says that we're to be a living sacrifice. We're not like the dead sacrifices of old. I mean, if we have to lay down our lives for God, like Jesus Christ did, so be it. But Paul said to be a living sacrifice, sacrifice for God in your time, in your service, in your giving, in your sharing, in your teaching. Perhaps your young children, lay down your lives in sacrifice and go to God every day for that renewal, the inner man renewed day by day. Verse 17 says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Paul said in Romans 8:18, he said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory. Look at the glory God is offering to us. Give God thanks for your incredible human potential. God wants to give us eternal life in His kingdom, in His family. He wants to give us jurisdiction over the universe. I mean, what we're experiencing now is just a tiny, tiny drop in the bucket. And yet God wants us to lead happy, joyful, abundant lives, even in this fleshly tabernacle or frame. But look at where it leads. This is just like our launching pad, this little brief existence that we have in the flesh. Paul likens it to, or maybe it's James, just a blade of grass. Take advantage of that opportunity to really serve and obey God, to prepare for that eternal calling, to prepare for that glory that we're about to inherit. Verse 18, it says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal or physical, but the things which are not seen are eternal. There is a real spirit realm. God is invisible. We worship Him in truth and in spirit. That's in John 4. Read that exchange that Jesus had with the Samaritan woman. I mean, here are our physical bodies. They're wearing out. They slow down as we get older. And yet we can really and truly go to God daily for spiritual strength and to some degree even energy. God says in Isaiah 40, I give strength to the weary. God will energize us. God can energize an elderly individual with his spirit. He can give strength to those who need it. If we go to him, like it says at the end of Hebrews 4, you know, where it says, go boldly before that throne, he'll provide you with help in time of need. We all need help. We need God's grace. We need God's mercy. We need his love. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says that we walk by faith, not by sight. We're out there walking by faith, the faith of Christ. We're putting our trust in God. We're like Daniel and his three friends. I've covered that history for you recently on some shows. Our lives are in God's hands. Daniel said, I'm going to continue with my prayers even after this decree that basically said, if I do that, I'm going to be put to death. He went all the way into the lion's den, committed to God and his way of life, committed to his relationship with God. He wouldn't let a decree from a king banning prayer on penalty of death if you broke it. Daniel wouldn't even let that interfere with his prayer life. That's remarkable. I mean, that's someone who believed. That's someone who put his life in God's hands, his life in God's care. This is from the old correspondence course. It says, the person who accepts God at his word and is willing to step out in faith by exercising it and trusting him to supply every need is a person upon whom God will look with favor and to whom God will see that work is supplied. It says, this takes real courage and faith in God, but we know we have his sure promise that he will provide for our needs. God is a provider. God will not forsake us. God will defend us. God will empower us. God will strengthen us. And we do need help. Listen to some of the trials and tests that the Apostle Paul had to endure. This is over in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Notice 2 Corinthians 6. And verse 4, it says, but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in other words, sleeplessness, in fastings. Paul went through a lot, so much so that, you know, you look at this list, and this isn't the only place in his writings. He endured trials and tests. It makes what we've gone through seem, you know, pretty tame by comparison. Verse 9, it says, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, verse 10, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. He was all things to all people. Paul could mix it up with Roman rulers and the common man as well. He really did. Mr. Armstrong was a lot like that as well. He traveled the world meeting with dignitaries, with kings and prime ministers, ambassadors. And yet he also delivered a message that a lot of people loved. They loved reading The Plain Truth. They loved watching the World Tomorrow program. And of course, we're carrying on with that same legacy, with all the literature that we make available, the programs that we have, whether daily or weekly, the websites that we now use. Matthew 11 and verse 28, it's a big work. And we need laborers, as Jesus brings out here. Matthew 11 and verse 28 says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God will send relief. God offers encouragement. and strength and power. He'll actually lighten that load. Verse 29, it says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." You can find rest in Christ. You can find rest with God. Jesus says here, verse 30, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." How could he say that, given the burden that he carried right with him to the grave through that crucifixion? How is that made light? Well, because his relationship with God, his Father, it was the most important relationship that he had. It was more important than anything else in this world. And God gave him strength. He prayed right there at the last. You know, I wouldn't mind not going through this, but nevertheless, not my will, your will be done. Perfectly submitted to God's will. Notice that section in Hebrews 4. I mentioned it a little earlier. But Hebrews 4, this is about, again, coming before that throne of God with boldness, with some confidence in Christ. Verse 14, it says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." I mean, we've got to be professional when it comes to our relationship with God, when it comes to serving in the work. This is what we do. This is what we're good at. Not that it's a human effort by any means, but it's a partnership. We've got to pour our hearts into this, and then God will empower us. We walk by faith, not by sight. Verse 15 in the Amplified says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to understand and sympathize and have a fellow feeling with our weaknesses and infirmities and liability to the assaults of temptation, but one who has been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sinning." I mean, we have the perfect high priest. He came in the flesh. He lived a physical existence. And so he knows what we struggle against. He knows about those carnal impulses that you've got to put away and bury. He certainly knows about what it takes to live a sinless life. He drew on the strength and the power of God the Father. Verse 16, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We need grace to help us. We need God's grace to help us. Help us what? Well, to overcome. There's a lot of people in the world of traditional Christianity that use grace as an excuse to sin. God's grace covers all. Just come as you are. Just live any way you want. God says we need grace to help in time of need. We need help. And God's there ready to give it if we'll just turn to Him, if we'll just look to Him, if we'll just commit to growing in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Mr. Armstrong wrote, "Jesus Christ is able to save those who come to God, the Father, and we have been given access to come to the Father in prayer by Christ. We cannot approach the Father by our own merits. We have none. It says Christ is the door, the way. One does not go up to the door and stop. He goes on through the door. Christ gives us access to God, and He intercedes with God for us. We have, in other words, everything that we need in our great high priest and apostle. We have an advocate when we sin. We have an intercessor. We have the apostle of our profession, our vocation. Mr. Armstrong in this article, this classic piece, Let God Fight Your Battles, he outlined two reasons that we often lose our spiritual battles, our battle against sin. He said, for one, that we just haven't fully known of this great divine source of power that we can call on at will. We haven't gone to God for strength and power. We haven't asked God for the power to overcome and to conquer our adversary, the devil, to conquer our carnal and fleshly desires, to conquer the world and the ways of this world. And then he said, the second point, he said that we, through lack of faith or neglect, have failed to call on that supernatural help in time of need. We've neglected our duties. We haven't used our tools, our weapons. We've got to use that sword for what it is and really put away that old man, kill it off, crucify the old man, and to live a new life set apart by God's Holy Spirit, set apart by the power of God. A few emails. I don't have them in my notes. So, oh, yeah, I do. I've got enough to finish off these 3 minutes. This one says, I just watched your latest interview with General Mike Flynn, and I was moved by what he talked about with the dark forces in our government. I searched FlynnMovie.com to see if there were any shows coming up in my area, and I was so excited to see there is one in Fargo, North Dakota on April 30th. I hope that everything will work out that I can attend the show. Thank you for accurately, honestly, and objectively telling viewers what is going on in the world, and more importantly, putting God in the picture through Bible prophecy. So there's someone that's evidently going to be able to see General Flynn in that documentary on April 30th. Remember, as I've said this week, the movie does have quite a few swear words. The one we're playing at Armstrong Auditorium, those have been silenced, so you won't have to hear it in our venue. But I'm not sure which venues are going to have that option or carry out that option like we are. But if you get the DVD, I'm sure you're going to get the version that has the curse words in there. So just be forewarned. Another one here says, wow, you really moved quickly in getting another interview with General Flynn. You outdid yourself again. What a great interview. He is a true patriot. Really want to see his movie and buy the DVD, whatever comes out first. If only there were more leaders in our country like General Flynn. God bless you and keep up the terrific work in getting the truth out to the world. Another one here says, I felt the time had come to reach as large an audience as possible. That's quoting General Flynn. Of course, Herbert Armstrong made that phrase famous back in 1985 when he said about Mystery of the Ages, we want to reach the largest audience possible. And General Flynn said much the same with respect to his new movie. It says, this is an amazingly inspiring quote from General Flynn. The strength of faith is a bond that must not be weakened, as it is the currency of hope that makes us one in the fight of all ages. It says here, as always, so grateful for the labor and efforts. Couple more short ones here as we wrap up today's show. I enjoy watching the Trumpet Daily and seeing the rapid growth being promoted on Rumble. And then finally, the fastest moving hour, a flurry. Thank you for being a wholesome, inspiring, bold host. The pure goodness brings joy. If you'd like to email the show, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. And we thank you for joining us on today's show. We'll see you tomorrow.